It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels. Happy to be joined by Dwight Yoakam. Welcome, Dwight.
88.5.
That's it. Do your radio voice.
KCSN.
There we have it. You've got a career. Well, you've got actually.
This is the old AM guy, right?
You have a bunch of careers.
Guy in the Sky from WNCI coming to you live long and strong all weekend long on the mighty 98.
We were talking. When you were. I know NCI. That's right. Ohio.
Remember that?
Well, I'm from Cleveland.
One of the big. And they didn't do the bop till you drop kind of. That was the new WCOL. It was an AM guy. Right, that's an AM guy voice.
You were born in Kentucky, but then.
Yeah, I moved to Ohio when I was a kid.
And you went to Ohio State.
Erstwhile Ohio State student.
Now, are you, could I ask if you are a fan of the Buckeyes?
Oh, man. It used to kill me when I got over it. And then this year, look what happened. I mean, of all the historic moments. Really amazing to kind of watch that happen.
I've read once that you saw a show in L.A. I think it was the Blasters and Robert Gordon.
Yeah, Robert Gordon was on that bill. So I thought, and they had, you know, I had the money to buy a ticket. I went down there to the Whiskey and thought this might be interesting because this is rockabilly or this new nouveau rockabilly thing. And Billy Zoom had his rockabilly band just ahead of the Blasters went first, Billy Zoom second, and Robert Gordon. And he had Link Wray playing guitar with him. And it was one of the loudest things to this day I've ever heard in my life was Link Wray up there, you know.
With the
and
rumble.
And he did rumble.
Yeah, he did rumble.
As like an opener. He kind of opened, did a song or two before Robert came on. The beacon for me that drew me specifically to L.A. had been Emmylou Harris.
Right.
Because she really illustrated to me that a more traditional style of country rock, if you will.
Guess and suppose. She won't show you what's really real.
Chris Hillman deserves a lot more credit than he ever gets for being the bridge between an entire one generation to another, from Buck Owens and Merle Haggard to what became the next generation of country rock, which really begat modern traditionalist country musicians like myself, the next generation in the 80s.
Right.
Whether it be Steve Earle, Randy Travis, or Ricky Skaggs, or sure, any of that generation, you know, Lyle Lovett, all of us owe a massive debt to Chris Hillman. And then Chris discusses it in his book, A Hot Burrito, about the beginnings of, the template for country rock, which he formed with Graham Parsons, but it's vis-a-vis Chris Hillman that Graham comes to the world, because he meets Chris in line at the Bank of America on Sunset. Chris still to this day kind of believes Graham was stalking him. It was not a happenstance.
Right.
Chris believes that Graham was a much more calculated guy than he said. He came up to me and was like, started kind of, said, "Hey, you're Chris Hillman, aren't you?" He said, in retrospect, I realized Graham probably
not a chance again, encounter.
Yeah, he actually watched me go to the bank, followed me around for a little bit, and then introduced himself. But what they formed, and a lot of it didn't all work, but because of Chris Hillman, you have the first country rock album, which is Sweethearts of the Rodeo.
Yeah,
with the Birds. He brought the great Clarence White into, you know, our consciousness and into everybody's, you know, audio world. You know, without Chris Hillman doing what he did and being this relentless point of focus for a community of young rock musicians.
He was the evangelist.
Yes, an evangelist, really, who believed in Buck Owens, you know, when he was getting, you know, chastised for it by other of his peers, who carried that torch and connected that musical generation to our, you know, to the next, to his. You don't have Linda Ronstadt in the way we met her and found her and she evolved. You don't have the Eagles. You don't have Emmylou Harris very directly, because Chris introduced Emmylou Harris. He knew of her. He had heard of her and witnessed her in D.C. in the coffee house circuit, and introduced Graham to her and said, "You got to go meet this woman who's singing here." And Graham then ended up doing what he did with Emmy.
She said, "When I trusted love, I dreamed in color too. Woven memory turned out black and white, at least mine do." She said, "My brother, you know, he used to have this friend. Oh, but this is now. Well, that was then. Better off just not to stop and have to watch us fall apart, all because my second-hand heart I said if you may not see how good they were without the rest." She said, "You know, I've tried a lot, but I guess love, it don't like me. Oh, and by the way, all those tries, you didn't come for free.
So you get this sense of inspiration, and as history has told me, early on, Lenny Waronker pulls you aside, I guess, and kind of...
Well, that happened at the first record release party, the only one I'd had until recently when we did the Whiskey.
Well, they were the pulling up for another one
since
then?
Down the block, it was at the Roxy in 1986, and my then manager, Sherman Halsey, did it with a Westwood One satellite broadcast, and Lenny brought Emmy Lou out and John Fogerty out that night to see me, and we met. And the next day he called me and gave me the best advice I'd ever had, which was, no matter who in the, he said, I, as a record executive, I'm going against all the
trade secrets,
all the conventional wisdom,
right,
of how I should speak to an artist, especially, you know, a brand new artist on a label, not on my own label, but here's what I'm going to tell you. The only advice I can give you, after watching you, listening to the record, but seeing you last night in person, you and the band, he said, if anybody here or anywhere else in your career tells you to do something that goes against your instinct or intuition, don't do it. You know, listen to yourself, and that's my advice. Smash cut to... Lenny is long gone. Warner's has changed dramatically over the years. By the middle 90s, Lenny and Mo, Lenny Waronker,
right,
was the president of Warner Records for,
right,
many years. The artistic guru, if you will, and
conscience,
guide.
Conscience, yeah.
It's a good way. That's a good way to say it. Yeah, the artistic conscience. And Mo Austin is his counterpart as the chairman, you know, who guided it. The two of them took that label into... Well, that label really gave us modern commercial music because of their belief in artistry,
yeah,
and sticking with an act like Fleetwood Mac, which I think had 8 unsuccessful,
yeah,
tries at releasing a record. There's no other label in the world that would have stayed that course except somebody like Warner's. He comes from a place of pure love for artistry and music.
Do you still, the story's been told to me that you and he used to listen to your records in the car.
Well, 3 pairs. In front of, because he's back over at Warner Burbank. And,
right.
And his offices are there. And I would drive over, this is 3.5, 4 years, we were working on 3 pairs. And I'd park out front and I'd say, well, just come down to the car. I got a rough, listen to what. So we started listening in the car and it was loud. Parked, we were like 2 high school kids. Out there, because people would be coming back from lunch and look over, it's ragtime, it's a convertible. And so it was very loud.
Sure.
So people walk by, like, and they'd look over and do a double dip. It was like, that's Lenny. What's he doing in that car? And it's like, is that Dwight?
Yeah. the time and place. Their way, a sweet embrace, with stains on hearts just fade away. Replaced with hopes lost from today. Bound by love that never strays, and another world will be okay. That doubt and sadness in your eyes will disappear with tears once cried. Broken dreams that went so wrong, an empty space where life moved on. Oh, with every hurt that aches so long, and another world that all be gone. Your tortured heart, soft anguish, please. Rescued by love, shall be set free. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then every hurt that aches so long, in another world, it'll all be gone.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, the love and the not only the love and the passion, but you're an encyclopedia of knowledge, but not in the stentorian professorial way, but in the understanding of how one dot connected to another and how we create a not just a sound, but a community and a belief system. And we got to get you back out here sometime because, man, the stories you got and the embellishment.
Man, it's not professorial at all, and it's not even an academic's path, but it's visceral. And I really feel lucky to have been born into the moment and time and place is everything. But when music so exploded onto AM car radio, yeah, and we could all listen and just be taken away into a magic place for 3 minutes,
yep,
all day long, on the DWCOL, the rock of the capital city. I mean, in that time, you could hear Buck Owens played shoulder to shoulder with the Supremes, followed by the Rolling Stones, you know, doing, well, hey, get off of my cloud.
Keep... keep with us, because we're going to try to keep that spirit alive. And
well,
and
you guys have. I said earlier to, you know, one of the execs here that the first place I ever heard my music played was on a college station. It was here in town. And the next time I was on the radio was out here, KCSN, your old studios, right, north end of the campus. You guys played me and championed what I was doing from that moment at the beginning in 1985 to now.
Till right so, time. And, thank and you. Onwards and upwards.
Well, knock wood. I'm glad I'm still here and anybody cares to listen.
God bless it. This has been a real treat. It is the one and only Dwight Yoakam live on 88.5 KCSN.